Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of SideQuest. I am your GM, as always. My name is Joey, and I am joined by the greatest PCs of their local high schools. First up, we have Dan. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. Kind of mad I gotta get up early and go back to high school tomorrow, though.
Math class is hard, and you have to deal with all those bullies, and but listen, man, don't let them pick on you for your love of anime. Speaking of, next up, we have Richie. Richie, how are you, man?
Doing good. I'm over here packing for school tomorrow, I guess.
You know what? Pack the clear backpack, the mesh backpack.
It's gotta be the mesh. Make sure I don't, I gotta walk through the metal detector in the morning.
But don't forget your gel pens.
Of course. My milky gel pens.
The milky gel pens?
Yeah, milky gel pens. You can't forget those. Those are important. All the girls love those.
So many people told us that we were going to get cancer for writing on our skin with those. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. They said that about everything you write on your skin with.
They're still saying about that today. I mean, with most things, so.
Like where this setup's going. Speaking of cancer.
My God, no. Don't do it. Don't take my setup from me.
Okay. I'm sure you have a better one locked and loaded.
No. I've saved this one for Cruz ever since a few minutes ago. Speaking of good enough, next up we have Cruz Turner. Cruz, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good enough.
Nice, dude. Nice. Good enough, the title of your memoirs. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You doing all right, man?
Just another day in paradise, as the kids say.
Heard you got a little hot and sweaty today, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I walked up some stairs.
it was just the front four steps to a building.
Actually, the thing is it's three steps. Don't oversell my prowess. The thing is I thought about taking the wheelchair ramp, but then knowing my luck, like a disabled veteran would be coming through, and then I'd be blocking the path because I am a roadblock. That's why I go by Snorlax in video games. I'm a wide lad, so.
Don't plug your Twitch. I don't want to hear that.
It's my OnlyFans.
Nice, dude. Nice.
So, has Dan ever been pushed down the stairs by an 8th grader when he was in 12th grade?
I don't want to talk about it. Can we just move on?
Dan was in band, and he played the trombone. What do you think?
Oh.
Guys, last time on the episode, you went into Debbie D's and bought a few donuts. Dr. Cogswinkle realized that his life choices up to that point maybe had led him to thinking his 7 corpos were worth a little bit more than they actually were. So after he got over that existential crisis, you all went to the bathroom together. It's good to have moral support. And had a little encounter in the bathroom. Boulder, what'd you think about that, buddy?
Well, I was very sneaky, and he didn't have any clues that I was there, thanks to Rat Boy's sneaking techniques he taught me. It's kind of weird. It's like when Rat Boy's does it, he just crouches and it works, and then when I crouch, I just don't feel the same mojos,
Well, I think it's probably because your knees pop the whole time you're duck walking across places.
Yeah, I'm a creaky clock.
Hey, Dr. Cogswinkle, I really appreciate you using Rat Boy as a weapon.
Yes, of course. He'd been telling me he wanted a little bit more action, so go on sport. We hit him on in the go, Ned.
Yeah, really great job of putting a 10-year-old in harm's way.
Well, he can just duck down or whatever he does and just slip into the shadows.
Speaking of testicles, Din, you got to shoot somebody there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not my normal go-to. But, hey, if it works, it works. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, so anyway, you got past that encounter and then figured out how to get down this toilet pathway. Dr. Cogswinkle produced the member card and also the membership ID, which I still can't believe that he wrote down. And down and down we go into the vein. All right, let's get into the episode.
The vein, a subsidiary of Marigold Corp. The bright white of the neon sign quickly fades as the toilet vader continues to descend rapidly. Palpable silence has fallen over the cabin in the last 1,000 feet, save for the low, constant hum of whatever mechanism continues to drag Dr. Cogswinkle, Din, Boulder, and Ratboy further and further into the depths. Ratboy looks down at the floor, dingy hands in his dingy pockets. He shifts his weight somewhat uncomfortably from one foot to the other before raising his head slightly to cast a sidelong glance toward Dr. Cogswinkle.
Look, Doc, I'm really sorry about bringing that up. You don't really think you're gonna die down here, right?
Dr. Cogswinkle concentrates on the same slightly scratched area of the plastic toilet paper dispenser as he has for the last 5 silent minutes. He waits a beat, then running his left hand through his hair, he leans back on the toilet, wipes the thighs of his pants off with both hands, and stands up. He looks down at the checkered floor tile, and without shifting his gaze, puts a hand on top of Rat Boy's matted brown hair.
No, Rat Boy.
He steals himself slightly, raising his shoulders. He looks down at Ratboy and smiles ever so slightly.
Listen, Ratboy. Ever since I heard the prophecy all those years ago, I have lived by one rule and one rule alone. I, Dr. Phineas J. Cogsbuckle, will decide how my story will end. And no one else will ever take that from me.
He pats Ratboy's head twice before pulling his hand back, discreetly wiping it on his flak vest.
Oh, don't you worry about that.
So as you guys descend down in the Toilevator, it's been relatively quiet. It's gone on for what you would consider a pretty inordinate amount of time. As it continues to descend down and down and down, there's been no interaction from anything other than the occasional flashing of light as you pass by floors of this seemingly endless structure beneath the Harbor District. It's about 15 minutes into the journey when you hear a ding on the elevator intercom in a voice that's distorted and somewhat stuttery, but bright and cheery at the same time, comes over the intercom and says,
"Well, howdy, hi there, gang. Looks like we got a whole crew on this Toilevator, right? As loyal employees of Miracle Corp, I'm sure you, like me, have read the employee handbook on Toilevator safety 9,458,926 times. As such, I'm sure that you're all well aware of Section 58, Paragraph B, Subsection 3F, Part 22, which states,
for employee safety, only one passenger is allowed per Toilevator ride.
Now, I'm sure this was an honest mistake, but pretty
pleased
with the cherry on top. Don't let this disaster or fiasco happen again. We'd certainly hate for Chadwick to find out.
Now,
since we got all the bad stuff out of the way, where are you headed, gang?
Docs, where's we headings?
Dr. Cogsbuckle, it's about this time that you see on the front wall of what was the bathroom stall, you see a series of options laser etched in this neon that seems to be hidden behind a sheer panel on the door light up, and you can see the following area options. Admin, calculating, processing, subtracting, intake, reprogramming, and output. And the voice comes over again after the pause and says,
Hey, gang,
where are we going?
I'm going to turn around towards them and look at them and be like,
where do you think we could find Charles? And then, like, wink at them.
The voice comes over again and says,
well, howdy, you know, I really hope my audio processors aren't messing up.
Is anybody there?
Ah, yes, your processes are fine. I'm talking with my colleagues at the moment.
Din's gonna kind of like flutter his hand from his sitting position and kind of whisper,
Doc, you gotta do the voice, remember?
Yes, sir. All right, guys, what do you think our friend, you know, our colleague Charles would be?
Ratboy does a soft, like, golf clap. Ratboy pipes up and he says,
Eddie, what? Charles, who are you talking about?
You know. That was not the voice. Hold on a second.
Oh, you know, mate, it's your you Sheila know, that's mate. Down here that we're looking for. You know, I took it back here 3-4 weeks ago.
Boulder is going to look up and say, computer, sorry, we're a little lost. Do you have any clue where we could go to possibly find the R&D facility or maybe new intake in terms of top secret stuff? We're new hire orientation and we were put into the research department.
And that should be part of your new hire packet. That'd be page,
And you hear like some beeping in the background.
That'd be page
5,282.
Do you have reference for it, or do I need to
put it up there for you?
Unfortunately, I'm going to need a reference page because I don't have it with me. So at my last job, we actually didn't have to hold on to our employee handbooks. That they covered it on the first day, so.
You know, make sure you got that memorized, because, like I said, we'd hate for Chadwick to get involved. You're looking for probably processing, if I had to pinpoint it. Is that where you want to go?
Yeah, actually, thank you so much. What was your name? We never formally have met, obviously.
Is this your first Toilevator ride?
Yes, actually it is. I'm Chad Flinderman.
That's kind of weird. The badge that you signed in with, may I please speak to...
And you hear some beeping in the background.
May I please speak to Charles...
Actually, that's who's sitting on the main seat here. Charles, I call him Eddie. We've been friends for a long time. Charles?
Hey there, partner.
Howdy, hi, Charles. Surely you can help get these guys to the right place. Are you sure? Because processing's a long way from where you gotta go.
Oh, that's all right. We've been through the sticks and back. We'll be all right. We'll go processing.
Okay, I'll get you right over that way.
And as he says that, the speaker clicks off and the toilet elevator begins to slow. As you make your selection of processing, it slows to a stop and you hear a hiss. And then the speaker crackles back to life. You hear...
Hold on, if I were you guys, like I said, only made for one rider.
And then all of a sudden it snaps sideways and let's see, who was standing? I think pretty much everybody at this point, yeah?
No, I specifically said at the end I was sitting down in a corner.
Everybody but Den is going to be slammed into the opposite wall as the momentum carries you at excruciating speed to the left. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you and Boulder are kind of tied together in a heap by the time this toilet elevator stops, and the front doors slide open vertically, and bright light begins to shine in, and the voice comes back over speaker system, and you hear,
"Hey guys, this is processing. If you need anything else, I'll be in this elevator or
pretty much anywhere else in the building, but
I'll be sure to kind of keep an eye on you and make sure you get to wherever you're going. Who are you checking in with down there so I can let them know you're coming?"
I'm sorry, that's more information I'm kind of, unfortunately, a little short-handed on. So I don't know if you've heard of New Haven's post-GED hires.
Topical.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm a returning to the workforce, it was kind of a rushed process, so I don't really know. Could you help me? I didn't catch your name again.
Oh, no, my name's Billy. I'm the Bionically Integrated Learnable Intelligence, and my job's to kind of get to people where they're going and keep monitoring the facility, you know. Like I said, it's in the handbook.
You really should read that thing.
He has that written down somewhere. No way he came off the top of the dome with that.
Well, I'll make sure that tonight I'll read the handbook and you know we'll speak tomorrow and I'll show you all of my knowledge, Billy. I really appreciate all your help. But who should I be checking in with?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that. Hey, Charles, you should be able to help with that, right?
And the doors buzz impatiently.
Yeah, let's get untied real quick here, Charles. Tuesdays, am I right?
Hold on a second.
Daniel keeps losing the voice.
I do. Oh my god, I can't get it back. Ah, yes. No, dang it, no, I get it again.
Yeah, it says, yes.
Sounds like we need to go home and get our skillets moving.
Ratboy just side-eyes Dr. Cogsbuckle. Ratboy says,
yeah, let's get our skillets moving.
He walks out of the toilet elevator into the, out on the plush carpet, out of the entryway of processing.
As, I guess, you know, Den gets up and helps Boulder and Doc up, he kind of, like, says under his breath while they're close enough,
"So, everyone that's come in here has had suits on, and we are not dressed like that. So, how do we go about blending in?"
Dens. That's what we call plot holes, and we just let those go.
As you say that, a person in a suit passes you and gets on the toilet elevator, and he sits down on the toilet and presses the handle down. As the door closes, he kind of gives you just a weird look, looks you up and down, noticing your clothes specifically. You see just at the end, as the door slides closed, you see him kind of bring his wrist up and start to type something on his wad.
Laundry day, am I right?
He's gone.
Laundry day!
Boulder, he can't hear you. He's in the elevator. All right, cowboys, let's go ahead and move on down to processing. Let's see where we can find Charles. No, oh, that's me. Oh, shoot, that's me.
We're doing good tonight.
Oh, this is the last episode.
Let's go ahead and find the nearest person. I'm going to see what the new hires should be talking to.
Yeah, we should probably look for three people about our size and build wearing suits.
So the lobby that you guys walk into from the toilet elevator as the doors slide closed behind you, it's very sparsely decorated but nicely decorated. There's some benches lining the walls with fake plastic ferns in between each of them. It's like whitewashed walls for the most part. There's plush carpeting leading up to a receptionist desk. There's some signage on the wall that basically points in different directions to executive offices, and there's signs for admin in another direction. In the halls, it's kind of a T shape, and you have a hall directly in front of you to the right of the receptionist desk, and then you have two halls that extend out in either direction on the left and the right, and they go pretty much as far as you can see with doors lining on all sides of them. It's no sooner that you get off the elevator than the receptionist notices you and waves to you and says, "Hi, how's everybody do? Wow, that's a lot of people. Did y'all not read the manual?"
"Well, see, you know, I got this new dog, right? He had it sitting on the coffee table, and he just kind of snacked it up and ripped it up shreds. So, you know, we're the new hire group. We're looking for, you know, I don't recall his name. You know, I did read the handbook, but, you know, I just spaced. And we got a new GED hire over here. He's fresh into the workforce.
As you're talking, Din, roll a sharp roll for me.
Boop. A 9.
With a 9. So just to remind everybody in this game, a 6 or lower is a failure. A 7 and 9 is mixed success, and a 10 plus is a full success. Din, with your 9, what you notice is Dr. Cogswinkle mentions the manual again and how his dog apparently ripped up his copy of it. You notice that one of the security cameras lining either side of this teed hallway, it kind of turns and almost seems to be looking at Dr. Cogswinkle as he's talking. And you also notice with the 9 that the receptionist glances up nervously to the camera as it turns.
Well, out of character, it's already odd that we're in here, like, 4 of us would, like, not dress correctly.
Listen, guys, you have to deal with the consequences of your planning. That's not my fault. this is not my fault. The receptionist glances up at the camera, and he looks down at, kind of at you, Dr. Cogswinkle, and he says, look, I'm sorry to hear about your handbook. We can definitely, and he glances back up at the camera nervously, and he looks back at you. He says, we can definitely get you another copy, and it looks back at the camera and goes, we'll get him another copy. It's fine. We'll get him another copy. What'd you say about a GED hire?
Yes, yeah, it's a large fella back here. He's fresh out of the GED program. He's here to new hire. They gave him a job here.
I need Dr. Cogswinkle to roll 2d6 before I decide if I'm going to let this GED thing go or not. If you get better than an 8 on the roll.
Dude, let's go.
What is it?
It's staying, baby.
Oh, it's actually a 12 because it's plus 1, so.
Wait, it just said 2d6. Why would it be a plus 1? All right, it doesn't matter. So the receptionist looks down, and it's about this time that you notice a nameplate that's on the front of the desk. It says Terry. Terry looks down and tacks away on the desktop wad that he has there, and he waits for a moment, looks through, and then says, okay, I got the GED hire list here. What's your name, son?
I'm going to try my best to look over and see if I can spot a name.
You're pretty far away from the receptionist desk. You're like by the elevators.
He's got eagle vision, bro.
Sure, homie. Roll 2d6 plus sharp.
Oh.
What is it, buddy?
That's a 7.
Seven. You definitely cannot. Daniel, I'm not telling you what your name was. Stop messaging me on Messenger.
It's Charles something.
No, it's he was Eddie.
No, my new name.
You should write it down, homeboy.
Yeah.
So with the 7, Boulder, you're really not able. You can kind of like make out the log, but without getting closer, you really can't see any names. You, as this pause takes place, you can't tell like where it's coming from, but you hear it sounds like a decidedly impatient beeping sound.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were talking to me. Name's Chad. Chad Flinderman.
Chad Flinderman. I'm sorry, I don't see it. Could it be under something else?
Oh, it could be under my first name, which is actually Nick Flinderman, Nicholas Flinderman.
And he types away, and you hear the impatient beeping starting to grow louder. You see not only that one camera, Din, you see several other cameras in the hallway swivel to look as well.
Din, with his hands down, he's going to kind of like use like his knuckle and kind of like tap on, because Boulder's so much taller than me, I guess like his thigh.
Right.
And kind of like stretch and point.
I guess look by last name, Flinderman. I mean,
roll 2d6. Higher than a 6. I'll help you out.
It's an 8, baby. Oh.
As he kind of clacks away on the keyboard, he looks down, his brow furrowed, and he looks back at you, and he looks down again, and he says, I'm sorry, could it be under Kathy Flinderman?
Oh, I do actually have a twin sister, Kathy.
I can't let you in under her name.
Well, no, she... How do I say this politely? She's not living anymore.
I'm sorry to hear that. My sister passed away not too long ago.
You know, it was a tragic accident.
As he's, like, doing the sob story, Din's gonna walk up to the desk and basically kind of, like, slide his, like, the shining sheet over and take a pen and write out, we're here to check out a very special package that may have been delivered here, and then kind of like put that in parentheses and kind of slide it to him and kind of give him that look, because I mean we're clearly in Marigold, you know, outfits.
Roll to seduce and manipulate someone. I see a plan forming.
10, baby.
Let's see, on a 10 plus, I'll go along with you unless or until some other fact or action betrays the reason that you gave. He looks down at the paper, and he looks up at you, and he looks over at Dr. Cogswinkle Den and Ratboy standing near the toilet elevators. He says, "Are you here for the package?"
And Den's going to take the pen, and he's going to write yes and nod his head.
He looks down at the notepad, and he looks back up at Boulder, and he says, "Kathy, why did you go through all that rigmarole? Why didn't you just say that?"
New hire? I didn't know the protocols.
Kathy, we can dispense with the familiarities. If you're here for the package, you're not a new hire.
We're here for the package.
Listen, you almost got all of us in trouble. And you see the cameras kind of move away and look back in the directions they were looking originally. And the receptionist looks down and says, "All right, look, 34B, that's where the package is being kept. But I'm going to have to, I haven't seen you guys before, but, you know, this is an evolving situation. So I'm going to have to get Mr. Rosenthal out here to talk to you. So go wait on the bench over there. I'll have him come out."
Den's going to go and sit.
He looks over at Boulder and he says, "Kathy, stop playing games. Get it together. This is serious."
Kathy's going to look very dejected.
So you guys go walk over to sit by a bench, and Ratboy kind of plops down first, and he has his feet like swinging. They don't touch the ground. And he looks over at you guys, and he has his hands in his lap, and he kind of drums his fingers on his thighs, and he goes, So, guys, I still look 10, so what you want me to do?"
"Maybe you just hides, Ratboy."
That's a good idea. You know, I really can't make decisions on my own because I don't want to really be accused of, like, metagaming or anything. So if you want me to hide, I can hide. Or
yeah, why don't you go do that thing you normally do.
"Why don't you go do that?"
Yeah, no problem. Do you want me to go to that place he said and kind of scope it out? Or you want me to wait for you guys? Or what are we doing?
Den on the other side past everyone violently shakes his head yes.
Yeah, why don't you go down there and do that thing where you scout things?
Yeah, no problem. So Ratboy stands up.
"Report back at 0700 hours.
You got it, boss." And Ratboy stands up, and he kind of stretches and then holds his stomach, and he goes, "I have to go to the bathroom." And he, like, looks urgently at the receptionist, who looks startled. And Ratboy holds one hand on the back of his pants and says, "Like, seriously, now?" The receptionist points urgently down the hallway, and Ratboy skitters off in that direction.
Dan palms his forehead again.
As he runs down in that direction, he kind of looks back at you and gives a slight thumbs up as he continues to head off. And you see him disappear around the corner. And
38 minutes, 52 seconds. Sorry, I had to mark that for me.
I don't even know what that... Oh, is that the reference for how long it took to make a bathroom joke?
There it was.
Thank you.
We did it, ladies and gentlemen.
We got one. We got one. So then it's about that time that you see a man probably in his mid-60s. He has a balding patch on top with close shaved haircut on the sides. He walks out in a white lab coat with black slacks and brown shoes. And he walks over to you and he says, "I've been told you're here to see the package. Is that correct?"
"That would be correct there, sir."
"What division did you come from?"
Dan's going to hold up four fingers.
"Division 4?
And Dan's going to shake his head.
"I had no idea that senior personnel were going to be in on this job today. I'm sorry for your wait. I didn't know that the legendary Kathy Flinderman was coming today. I apologize, I would have been out here sooner, but Division 4 personnel don't typically leave headquarters, so what exactly are you here for?"
"Well, first off, I want to talk with you as an aside real quick. We were trying a new undercover technique with the whole Chad situation to test your security. I would like to say, good job. You caught me."
"Yes, ma'am. You were moments away from being absolutely vaporized."
"You know what? And that would have been on me, and no fault would have been had on you or any of your colleagues. I pushed the test too far."
Dan, roll another sharp roll for me, bud.
15.
With a 15, you can see one of those cameras that's real close kind of listing lazily towards you, and you could almost swear that it's looking at the group of you suspiciously.
"Let's continue on. Let's go take a gander, see the progress with the package."
"Right away, yes, Miss Flinderman. Absolutely.
This Mrs. Flinderman,
Mrs.
actually.
Flinderman. We'll absolutely do that, but if you don't mind, I do need you all to sign in at the desk. Then we can definitely take you back. So if you don't mind doing that real quick, and then we'll get started. We are right in the middle of some very, very, let's just say, successful tests. And we'd be more than happy for you to review our results firsthand. And if we could get your input in any way, Charles." And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. And he motions towards Den.
Den's going to hold up one finger and we'll walk over to the desk where you sign in at, grab the paper and a pen. And he writes Denward, and he comes back and shows it to him in points.
Denward.
"Sorry, Denward Jones is actually incapable of speech."
And Den's going to start, like, doing sign language to him.
"I'm sorry, I haven't made it to that point in my training courses. I'm not familiar with sign language, but...
And he's gonna, like flick his hands like it's all good. And he's gonna write, like, underneath his name, "Not many people do anymore."
So he looks over, visibly uncomfortable by this... whole encounter, and he walks you over to reception to sign in, and it's about that time on the back wall, almost again laser etched in the same way that the area buttons were on the inside of the toilet elevator, almost like it's kind of outlined by light, you see a face floating there, and it's very digitized, and you hear over the intercom system over one of the speakers closest to you, you hear that ding from the toilet elevator, and you hear the same sing-songy familiar voice come over and say,
"Hey, howdy, gang. How are we getting along here?"
"Howdy there again, Billy."
"Hi, Charles. I hope everything's going well. I don't want to interrupt or anything, but we're just getting some questions here. And I just want to check in and make sure everything's going well. I see you met up with Mr. Rosenthal and Terry, the receptionist, and I hope everything's going well, because if it's not, you just let me know, and I'll be happy to help in any way that I can."
"Well, we do appreciate that. That was mighty kind of you, Billy."
"No, it's not a problem at all, but, listen, guys, if you don't mind just kind of taking a beat here, and let me get a real quick face scan of you. If you don't mind facing one of those cameras over there, just anyone, it's perfectly fine. And, hey, you know, just try not to make these sudden moves. Is that okay? Can we do that real quick?"
"Well, I don't see a problem with that."
So you notice several cameras in the vicinity. Is everybody turning to face the camera?
I want to say, out of character, if we had gotten away with the Section 4 thing, could we not be like, "Oh, that poses a security threat"?
Homie, you can try whatever you want.
I'm going to try that, because I feel like Boulder is the only one that hasn't had a face change. Does Marigold know about Boulder or LaGrange?
I know the answer to that, but you don't know the answer to that.
Exactly. And I don't like those odds.
All right, tell me what you're doing.
Billy.
Kathy, what's going on?
You know that Section 4 is an anonymous, so you're not going to get face scans from us. Anytime we go out of the HQ, we get temporary modifications.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that, but...
Roll to seduce or manipulate, plus hot.
That's an 8.
On a mixed success, I will go along, but I need some concrete assurance, corroboration, or evidence.
I get that, but maybe I guess if you can...
And you hear kind of beeping in the background. It sounds kind of angry. Billy goes...
Maybe if you can tell me who your direct report is in Section 4, I can kind of help out that way, and we can do that, and that'd be fine.
Billy, I can't. Like, that's the part of this...
No, we've got access to the full database of personnel for all of Marigold. I mean, this is the vein, so... The other point, pretty legitimate, but I gotta verify you somehow. Section 4 or not.
I'm going to defer to Charles on this one. He's my senior, so... It's called passing the buck, kid.
I feel like Joey turned the difficulty level of this episode up to like a 15.
I told you it was about to get bad. Use your brains, boys.
All right, out of character, so we should know somebody.
It's completely possible.
Well, toots. Wait! No.
No?
No.
No.
I don't think Rick Flory's a part of Marigold.
No, well...
He was part of the extraction team for Terrence, though.
There we go. That's what we're going with. Fine, it's Rick Flory.
You hear the beeps, and the face disappears for a second, and then Billy comes back over and says...
Okay, Rick Flory, got it. That'll work. We'll just,
Billy, if I get in trouble for this, it's on you.
No, you're not going to get in trouble for it, but, so we're going to get in touch with them to verify, but you guys go ahead and do your thing in the meantime, and we'll get back with you. Yeah, just stay out of trouble, okay?
And the face disappears.
And now Rick knows there's three random dudes looking at Terrence.
Let's go.
And Mr. Rosenthal says, "Hey, Mistress Kathy, you still, none of you signed in, and that's kind of why we came up to the reception desk."
I'm going to scribble Cynthia misspelled.
Cynthia?
Yeah, that's Cynthia Rosenthal. No, not no. Rosenthal. Sorry.
y'all are making... Y'all, I'm trying so hard not to blow you guys up right now.
No, I said it. I said it for a second because you just said Rosenthal.
That's
the
man's name.
Cynthia Flinderman.
Y'all got to get on your game. We can't be doing this late in the game.
I'm going to sign Charles kind of legibly and then scribble the last name.
Okay. I'm not even going to make you roll for that. That's fair. Boulder, what you writing down?
I just told you Cynthia Flinderman.
Yes! Are you really?
Huh?
That is not your character name that you picked,
bro. What's the female part?
You're making this so hard on me.
What's the female part?
It's Kathy, dude.
Oh,
your
shit.
Sister Kathy.
Yeah.
Y'all weren't that close. I get it.
You know why? It's because I met a Cynthia today.
Oh, man.
Dude, he didn't do it twice. Wrote it, scratched it out, wrote it again.
Yeah, I'm going to write it and scratch it out, and then write it again.
So you still write Cynthia down even after all that?
No. I changed it to...
Come on.
Oh, I changed it
to... No, nobody tell him.
You just said it, bro.
Nobody tell him.
I'm tired. I can't be judged on
Come
this
on,
performance.
Cruz.
Oh,
this is the single most important episode of this podcast.
Din walks over and grabs his hand and writes Kathy.
Kathy. All right, Kathy.
You write down Kathy.
It's Flinderman. M-R-S, Kathy Flinderman.
And Mr. Rosenthal looks over at the three of you and says, all right, Terry, we good? And Terry gives a thumbs up and a kind of a smile and says, all right, guys, good to go. And Mr. Rosenthal says, please follow me to the back. We'll be going to 34B. I assume that you've been briefed on what's been brought in.
We sure have indeed.
Dan's gonna, actually, real quick, as when he asks, so you know what he's been briefing, when Doc goes, sure does, Din behind him is going to, like, stretch his arms out and, like, make, like, big gesture and kind of look at him.
He looks at you and he says, yeah, quite.
Okay, I didn't want to blow us up when he's like, look, it's the cybernetic puppy you guys are supposed to look at, right? Joey over here throwing curveballs that no one thinks about.
I would, but we're having a hard time tonight, so I'm not going to do that to you guys.
Like Kathy, Cynthia, you know, he also said it's 28B earlier.
No, I said 34B.
I don't remember. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live.
Sorry, I'm sure our audience wants us to play a new game anyway.
So Mr. Rosenthal heads off down the hallway with you three trailing. And he passes by several doorways, and you can see each door has a long rectangular window on the right side of the door, on each side of the hallway. And you can see into it, and inside you see different labs with different experiments. You have no idea what they're doing, what's happening in any of them. Some of them are dark, some of them have, you know, standard lighting, some of them have odd colors. You can hear all types of mechanical whirring, some very, very humanoid screams coming from certain areas. And as you pass by door after door after door, just the totality of it starts to weigh on your psyche a little bit. You finally make it to 34B, and he looks back at you and he says, I hope that the three of you are prepared for what you're about to see. Division 4 brought this in, and I would assume that you weren't part of that team. Otherwise, I wouldn't be having to tell you all this, but we've never seen anything like this. But the possibilities that this opens up for our research is beyond anything we could have ever imagined. So just prepare yourselves. And he opens the door. You guys follow him in?
Of course.
When you follow him in, the scene that greets you is devastating. There are rows and rows of these metallic gray boxes lined up. They're about human-sized, and they all have a window on the front, and you can see from the first few that the majority of them are populated with a single person, a mixture of male and female, all very rough-looking and kind of look like people that may have been vagrants from the Warrens. And actually, as you look closer, you realize that some of them are people that you know, and some of the people that you've seen around, and some of the people that you've helped in the time that you've been in the Warrens. People that you thought had either disappeared or died or moved or whatever, people you've lost connection with, they're all here. And all of that would be rough, but the worst part of what you see is at the end of this long rows of some 30 containers, 15 on a side, you see a large lit backboard. It's probably 30 feet by 40 feet, and it's standing upright, and pinned to it in the most inhumane way possible, with tubes coming out in all directions, and his lower half completely severed, and his arms strapped up, you see Terrence. His head's down, and he has what appears to be some type of fabricated breathing tube strapped over his muzzled mouth, and he is alive, it seems like, from the readout of the monitors on either side of the wall, but he's not moving. And you can see constant flow of green liquid being pulled out of him.
Din's gonna ball his fist so hard that his knuckles crack.
And it's at that time you also see Rat Boy sneak into the room. And that's where we'll end it for this week. Thank you for joining us for another episode of SideQuest. I have been your GM. And guys, given the tone of the episode, I don't think we're going to do a last cab at the end of this. I think we're going to go straight into credits. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. We want to thank our affiliate sponsors. We want to thank Instacart. That's Instacart, Instacart.com, and Instacart in the iOS and Android app stores. I'm not going to make the boys tell me what they like to get from Instacart this time, but you can go to Instacart and use our affiliate link in the description below, and you can get a special offer on your first few months with Instacart and maybe even get some free groceries. And we also like to thank Buzzsprout, Buzzsprout.com. They're our pod hosting service of choice, and they can get you out there to all the best and most available podcatchers, and you can get your podcast out there. They also have some great digital mastering tools that are kind of automatic. So if you're a startup podcast, it's a perfect thing. So use our affiliate link in the description of this episode and help us out and help them out and help yourself out with Instacart and Buzzsprout. We thank them very much for being affiliate sponsors of our episodes. And last but not least, I'd like to thank the three greatest PCs of their generation. I'd like to thank Dan. Thank you, Dan.
Of course.
I'd like to thank Richie. Thank you, Richie.
Yeah, man.
And I'd like to thank Cruz Turner. Thank you, Cruz.
Yeah, buddy. You got it.
All right. Let's get out of here, boys. We'll see y'all next week.